So this is an interview that Donald Trump did with Greg Kelly, and I've taken the whole interview, I've broken it down into the base components that I think are the relevant pieces. So in the first clip, what I've got is Donald Trump talking about in the Rome, Georgia, I think it was, rally that he had. He said, "I'm extending a hand out to Democrats." Well, it sounds like he was just saying that because it sounded good, because when he gets into this, he says, you know, there's some very bad people out there, talking about everybody, presumably, that doesn't like him. Here's what he said.
General election is underway right now.
Yeah.
The other night I saw you, and I guess it was Saturday night, you said, "I reached my hand out to Democrats right now if you want to join us." And that was beautiful. But it was in the middle of a rally that the other side's not seeing, networks aren't carrying.
Only people like me.
To reach out to them, to the people who've been lied to about you.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that? And are you going to show another side to yourself or change anything?
No, hell no.
During my tenure, we had the most successful economy in history. And it's very interesting. I was called, all of a sudden, blacks, Hispanics, Asians, women, men, with diploma, without diploma. Everybody was doing great.
Everybody.
And I was seeing real success. And I was being called by...
No contest.
...some very liberal or... progressive, you want to use the term, they don't like liberal anymore, but I'll call them whatever it is, from some very liberal people, some people that you would never think would call, Greg, and they wanted to get together. The country was coming together, and...
No, they weren't.
The success is going to bring the country together.
God, I was
and
there.
It should come together. But you have some very bad people politically on the other side. Some people, I actually think they hate the country. They hate the country.
There are some people who can't get past...
You know, I hate to say it, but I don't think people, well, some do, some hate Donald Trump, but I think, as the last election shows, the vast majority of people just don't like the guy, folks. And I guess he was wrong about the olive branch. You know, that's gone. That's history. So Donald Trump, he was asked the question as to whether or not he made any mistakes in the last administration. And as you know, there were all sorts of people. It was like a revolving door of talent, you know, 50, 60 people. I mean, he had the highest turnover of any president, I think, in history at the top levels of his government. But funny enough, he doesn't see any problem with that. And he kind of, you know, writes it off because I was new to D.C. I didn't know how all of this worked. I think I've got a pretty good handle on it now. We've got, like I said before, I got... only the best people. Well, I've got even the best of the best now. Here's how it went.
Want to respect your time. In 2016, you did the opposite of what the political professionals would recommend almost every turn, and you won. And that's amazing. That's a testament to you. But is there such a thing as overconfidence? I mean, you've been right a lot, but nobody's right all the time. Is there such a thing as overconfidence? Are you, at this point, tough to advise? Or, I know you got great advisors, but did you learn some negative
lessons? Hell yes, he's tough to advise.
Right,
what do you think, Greg?
Wrong? And you might think, Jesus. Well, I'm always right. They must always be wrong.
Well, they do have a hat on, and I don't produce it. Somebody else, Trump was right about everything. I mean, if you look at all of these many, many things, I've been right about everything. I've been right about immigration. I've been
right about things, tactics and things like that.
Never wrong.
I listen to a lot of very smart people. I listen to people that aren't so smart, and you find out they're not smart later on. Look, I've had people that are great working for me, but I've also had people where it was a mistake having them. One of
60?
The things, and I say this... very, very strongly. Believe it very strongly. I came to Washington. I wasn't like in the Washington establishment. It's an establishment. I was a New York person, and I didn't come here much. I was here. They say the press says 17 times. I didn't know people like normally you would, and I put great people in, but I also put people that I made a mistake with. I made a mistake with some people I put in. Obviously, it wasn't a grave mistake because we had no wars. I got out of wars. I rebuilt the military. We defeated ISIS. You know, all the different things we did, lowest taxes ever. We got the biggest tax cuts ever or the biggest regulation cuts ever. But nevertheless, I now know people. I now know, I believe, Washington probably at the upper levels better than anybody. And I think I'm going to have some unbelievable people. And I have unbelievable people that want to be with us.
No, you said that last time. You said that last time. And it's scary to me that you've got, when you say you've got unbelievable people that want to be with you, because all I see are people like Steve Miller, who were the ones that thought of that whole campaign of separating immigrant families, you know, and that whole fiasco. I mean, I've been seeing him a lot on the news, and you know, quite frankly, when you say you've got the best of the best that really want to be with you lined up, all I see is Steve Miller. At, you know, bald head, worse than mine. And man, I mean, that guy's nasty. I mean, it's almost as if he's not even human. So when you say this, I'm worried. Okay. I'm worried. And then he goes on about this, folks. You got to hear this. So he's talking in this clip about Viktor Orban, and he doesn't really address the answer of defunding Ukraine. Viktor Orban said in a conversation, Donald Trump told me that he's going to defund Ukraine. He's not going to fund them. Well, Donald Trump kind of sidestepped that with a bunch of BS. Have a listen to this.
Viktor Orban, a couple of news items, if you don't mind. Viktor Orban said that you told him that you want to cut funding for Ukraine as soon as you get there. Where's that effect? He said that in an interview. Yeah. Is he correct? Is that the plan?
Yeah.
First of all, he's a fantastic guy.
He's an autocrat.
He's taken in no illegal immigrants. He runs his country very tough.
Like an autocrat.
A lot of people don't like it. But he runs it very tough, and it does very well, and there's no crime. They don't have, when you look at what's
according
happening
to Trump,
in our
country, no crime, right?
Crime
no crime.
Street corner and,
no
and
crime.
Murder, death all over the place, and it's going to get a lot worse because of the migrants coming in. You know, millions and millions of people coming out of prisons and coming out of mental institutions, and they're all coming in to the United States. We had a great time. We had dinner. We get along very well. But I told him, what I told him is Europe is spending a tiny fraction of what we're spending.
BS.
The European nations, as a combination,
wrong.
They should be paid the same because
Donald
you know,
Trump, you're wrong.
Approximately the same size. If you add them all up, their economy is very close to our economy. Plus, they're in a lot more danger than we are. We have a thing called an ocean between us, right?
And, oh, I forgot.
They don't. So they're spending. They have $100 billion, probably more than that. Less spending.
No.
On Ukraine than we
no.
Do. They should be spending money. I had the same thing with NATO.
Which end is talking here, folks? I mean, this is ridiculous. So look at this. There's a report. This is coming to us from the IFW Kiel Institute for the World Economy. Ukraine support tracker. Europe clearly overtakes U.S. with total commitments now twice as large. And here's the graphic that shows the darker blue is where the government, in this case, is committed over 0.75% of their GDP towards Ukraine. So the dark blue, you can see, and then you've got the medium blue, and then you've got the U.S., which is a lighter shade of blue, just to graphically represent what's going on here. So no, Donald Trump, no. The U.S. is not giving more than the European Union. And, you know, folks, this is what's dangerous about the guy is because he'll pull this kind of stuff out from God knows where, and he makes policy on it. So this is why people like Rex Tillerson that were in his administration just leave the administration because it's BS. You can't make administration policy based on fluff, like a bunch of crap that's not even true. You can't make up things and say, we're going to act based on that. And that was the scariest part to me of watching Trump go through the presidency. It's like, What is he using for data? And where is he getting his data? Because, like in this case, it's clearly wrong, folks. It's clearly wrong. So here's a question. Basically, are you lonely, Donald Trump, coming from Greg? Are you lonely?
Human history has really, and I know you have supporters, friends, family. They say it's lonely at the top. And I'm actually curious. Is it ever lonely for you? I mean, no one can fully relate to what you've been through and what you're going through. Are you ever lonely?
So I was, over the years, I love history, I study history, and I was always told that Andrew Jackson, as a president, was treated the absolute worst. He was just really lambasted. And I heard Abraham Lincoln was second, but he was in a thing called the Civil War, so you can understand that. But Andrew Jackson was really, really treated badly. In fact, his wife died during the process. I mean, a lot of people say she died because of the way they were treated. I mean, she was heartbroken and broken in so many other ways. And I heard that for years. And I looked now, even last night I was saying it, I said, there's no, I don't care, Andrew Jackson or anybody else, nobody has, when you think of the fake things, nobody's been treated like Trump in terms of badly. Russia, 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 Ukraine, 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 everything was a scam. And it
everything,
says the
everything
one,
was a scam.
The other. Impeachment hoax number one, impeachment hoax number two, all hoaxes and scams. And I said, if they ever devoted their time to making America great again, it would be a lot easier. Some people say, sir, how do you get out of bed in the morning?
Yeah.
It's a war. We're fighting some very bad people, some very evil people. And it's a war. And it's a war.
Everything's a scam, folks. I mean, the reality of that is obviously in stark contrast to that statement. Everything's a scam. There's no merit to anything that anyone has ever said in any court of law. Isn't that amazing? There's just no merit to it. All these lawsuits, 91 indictments or whatever the hell it is. There's just no merit to any of it. Really? Really? I mean, by the same legal system that's processing everyone else who's a criminal, all of a sudden there's no merit to the suits that are being thrown against you. There's just no merit. I don't get it. And how can you be lonely at Mar-a-Lago, right? You just go downstairs and everybody loves you, you know? You sit down and have a piece of pie, a little chocolate cake with everybody. I mean, life's a breeze at Mar-a-Lago. So you just can't get lonely there. So, folks, this is one where we're talking about the top secret documents at Mar-a-Lago that were all over the place. They were up on stage. They were in the bathrooms. I mean, where weren't those documents at Mar-a-Lago? Donald Trump is making the point that we had tons of security at Mar-a-Lago. Makes it all okay, right? And then there's no comparison between Donald Trump not cooperating with, you know, the United States, basically, to get those documents back, not cooperating. And when you contrast that with Joe Biden, who cooperated fully, of course, none of that makes any sense to either Trump or Jim Jordan, for that matter. But here's what he said. Have a listen.
Mar-a-Lago, we had the Secret Service. We had all sorts of security. We had everything.
We had lawn people.
And what he did was far more egregious. I mean, what I did, I had protection. I had the right to do it, in my opinion. And
got house cleaners?
My lawyer's opinion and everything else. But when you see that the way they released him, and they say, we're going to release him. It was egregious what he did. But by the way, they released Hillary Clinton. She hammered her phones. She used all sorts of acid testing and everything else. They call
no.
it
bleach
bit, but it's essentially acid that will destroy everything.
No, she
know,
didn't. That's
10 miles.
Debunked.
I mean, what she did was unbelievable. Nothing happens to her. Nothing happens to Bill Clinton. He took it out in his socks. You know, it was the famous socks case, which he actually ended up winning.
So why'd you bring it up? So he won. So why'd you bring it up? And that whole thing with Hillary Clinton and acid, I mean, that's been debunked. I mean, that is no more true than Donald Trump's assumption that you can drink bleach for, you know, COVID. I mean, that's how ridiculous it is, folks. But always playing the victim. They're far worse than I am. You know, never mind the fact that he didn't cooperate and he thought he was entitled to take all these documents away. You know, Mar-a-Lago is such a magical place, though. Nothing bad can ever happen there, right? So much security and all this kind of stuff. It's just endless BS from what was the predecessor here, as Biden likes to call him, the predecessor. Till next time, folks.